Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. That is Psalm 10:14. Our guest today is foster and adoptive mom, Evelyn Rice. Welcome to the show, Evelyn.
Hi, glad to be here.
It's an honor to have you. I've been looking forward to this conversation. You and your husband, Mike, live in Rensselaer County here in upstate New York. You're parents to three biological kids. Let's see if I can get them right. Seth is 12, Ava is 8, Owen is 4, and you adopted 2-year-old Lily through foster care. So with three bios, what led you and Mike to become foster parents?
You know, when I was growing up, I always thought like we would have, you know, I met Mike and our plan was to really have like two biological children, maybe privately adopt one child. And I was going to be a full-time working mom. And God really worked on that and my heart and through a lot of healing from the things that, that I went through in my past. You know, my niece was, she went through the foster care system when I was 17. And really through seeking healing through Jesus and everything like that, through all of the issues I had with that stuff afterwards, he really brought my husband and I to foster care.
Oh, that is amazing. So inspiration there growing up with a niece actually in the system. Now, I know you had said to me that you were thinking, all right, we'll do this foster care thing. We'll take one baby, we'll adopt that baby, and then we'll get out of it. And, but that's not exactly what happened. So tell us what did happen. What was your experience fostering Lily?
I mean, I think any foster parent probably could tell you this. It is a much harder walk than we expected. And we had this kind of preconceived notion like, oh, well, we'll just adopt through foster care. You know, we don't have the finances to do private adoption. And we're just going to do one baby and we'll be done. We'll have done our part. And, you know, that walk with Lily was, it took a long time. We went from reunification for a long time and then adoption. And then, you know, we walked this path where we were going to adopt her for 4 months and we believed that she was going to be our child. And then it changed back to reunification. And that was just, that was like such a stumbling block for us. And it was so hard. Ultimately, obviously, we did adopt her. But now that I look back at it, I really thank Jesus for that extra time of getting to know her mom and everything else. But what ended up happening is that, you know, during that time that we're like, we're definitely going to close our house after this. Like, we can't do this again. They called us and they had a medically needy little boy that they needed a home for. And they really felt like we were the best option for him because, you know, we're actually both veterinarians, so we have a fair amount of medical knowledge. And so we said yes to that. And his journey really transformed our journey, is what I typically, how I phrase that one. His journey transformed our journey, which is just true. So
in the process of not knowing really which direction Lily was going to go, whether she was going to reunify, which is the goal of foster care, really. Was she going to be reunified with her birth mom? Were you going to be able to adopt her? So that was an up and down kind of thing. You took a medically fragile child into your home and you said that really changed your journey. How long did you have him? What happened there?
So we had him about 6 months and, you know, obviously it was really hard. It's always hard when they leave. But through him, we really got to see, you know, we got to see a biological dad who had never held his own child before. His dad was completely unrelated to why he was in care. He got to hold his kid for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I got to see him really step into his role as a dad. And that's who that little boy went to. And I still get to talk to them regularly. And now this dad went from, you know, seeing one of his kids part-time and everything, and now he's like a single dad of two, and he is a rock star, and that little boy is now thriving, and I'm just really so blessed that I still get to be part of their life. I still get to see their walk and everything, but, you know, I like that just really transformed everything for us. You really start to see how much these parents really do love their kids. And so that was just a big change for us.
And foster care, really, I always refer to it as ministry. It's like the mission field comes to live in your house. And it's not just the kids, it's biological parents that need some support and ministering to along the way. Sometimes it's caseworkers. It really is full-time ministry. So let me ask you this, Evelyn, tell us a little bit more about Lily, because I know you got her as a tiny baby and raising her, she's got some challenges. So tell us a little bit more about Lily.
So Lily's now, I mean, she's a thriving 2.5-year-old. She was what they call an NAS baby. So NAS stands for neonatal abstinence syndrome. So that's the term that they now use for babies that have been exposed to drugs in the womb. And so, you know, she had withdrawals initially and everything. And now what we're seeing is there's damage to her neurological system, but she's thriving. We have therapy a couple times a week. And so she's doing really good, but you know, God has really, he's teaching me how to advocate for her. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's just a huge blessing. It's different than the walk has been with my biological children. But I said this the other day, you know, we're going through all this early intervention and transferring services to the school district. Like, Lily's just my perfect daughter that I love for exactly who she is. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter all of these other issues. Like, we'll get through them but she's perfect as her, and we just adore her.
Yeah, I love that. And now you adopted Lily, and she's now 2 years old.
Yep.
But are you still fostering? How long have you and Mike been foster parents?
We have been foster parents. She was our first placement, so it's been about 2.5 years now. And in that time, we've had 10 placements now.
Wow. So yep. tell us about your most recent placements, what you can about them, because I know they all went back, correct? They were all reunified?
Yep. I've had a couple reunify. Not the last couple situations I've been in, but even just a couple phone calls I've gotten in a situation I couldn't take. You know, like, we got a phone call for a 2-year-old little boy with like no real problems, and like that county didn't have a bed for that child in like a 2-hour radius, which is just crazy to me. And then I was also involved in some conversations about a young mother and her baby. And again, they had like no homes in a reasonable distance for this girl. And then even our most recent was three brothers. And like, again, we were the only home in the county that could take them without splitting these brothers up. And I just find that, I find it absurd, and I find it unacceptable. I think that, you know, as a church, we need to be stepping up for these kids. And I think a lot of times we kind of want to sit back and think that it's like somebody else's problem. But the reality is like, those homes aren't out there. Like, we need people to step up and step into the role of fostering. Because there really is not enough homes out there.
Wow. And like you said, if you get a call and there's a child who within a two-hour radius of where they had been living, there's no one to take them. That's just a sign that there's a great need for more foster parents. And, you know, we know that fostering is not for everyone. Not everybody is called to bring children into their homes, but we do know that there has to be more out there, right? Because God calls us to care for the least of these. So I always like to challenge our listeners, be praying about this, because maybe God is calling you. If more people were praying about it, seeking the Lord on it, and then responded in obedience, there would be a lot more foster parents. I know of a county out in Texas where Bishop Blake started. His church and his county were determined to make more kids, more foster parents waiting for kids than there were kids waiting for foster parents. And they were actually able to do that because they rallied the church to step up and recruited so many Christian foster parents that they transformed. It was history making. It never happened in the history of that county before. And we would love to see something like that here in New York. We have approximately 20,000 children in the state of New York in foster care. There is a great need here. We know it's not for everybody. I know, Evelyn, you told me the most recent placement you had were three siblings. Tell us how you picked them up.
So we're actually down at church at this big conference, and I get a call, and the three boys were at the hospital. So we ended up leaving church and going over there and picking them up at about 11:30 at night. But, you know, I mean, I'll say that I mostly do infants, and I tend to do medically needy infants just because that's what's kind of happened. But I have picked up, out of 10 kids, I think 8 of them at the hospital.
Wow.
So, and I mean, like, there's been some with higher medical needs that I spent the first week of their placement with me in the hospital. And then they were discharged to me.
Wow. Incredible. You're doing an amazing work there, because foster parenting doesn't necessarily mean you have to take medically fragile children.
Nope.
But you're equipped for that. So you're saying you've got your yes on the table for that. But sometimes it's just a temporary situation. And sometimes it's just kids, teenagers, sibling groups, babies. Mm-hmm. You never know. But a common excuse I often hear for people not fostering is they're afraid they're going to get too attached to kids and not want them to go back to their biological family. And you've mentioned a little boy going back to his biological dad. And you've mentioned, you know, you've talked about how with Lily, you were able to spend a lot of time walking with her birth mom. So how have you handled reunification where you've had kids and they go back? And what would you say to our listeners about getting attached and letting them go?
All right. So the reality here to me, I mean, obviously, you know, sometimes kids go back to homes that, like, we don't feel are safe, or I think, like, this is not the best situation, and I'm the best situation. But I think, you know, I've had a couple that really kind of felt like my kids, and obviously they're not, they're somebody else's children, but I love them so deeply. I see them as my own. And it's hard when they leave. But what I've gotten from God when they've left, I've, you know, prayed out of my grief and everything. And what I've gotten is that we all walk through hard things at times in our lives. And God uses those hard things in our lives. He has a plan for every single one of us. And he has a plan for every single child that's in foster care. And so I have to remember when a kid leaves my home, that God has a plan for their life. And that child may have to walk through things that I don't like, things that I'm not comfortable with, but he needs them to walk through that so they can fulfill the plan that he has for their life. So ultimately my job as a foster parent and their, you know, their foster mom is to love them, to advocate them, to offer my help. But at the end of the day, I still have to abide by God's plan and not my own. And I think that's a really important thing to remember. But as far as parents saying they can't do it because letting go would be too hard, I've come to the point where I typically tell people that that's the exact reason they should be. I think that every kid in foster care, every kid on this earth, truthfully, deserves to be loved deeply enough that it's difficult to let them go. It should be heart-wrenching to let them go. And when you're loved that deeply, I think that's where God really starts doing some healing, and a lot of healing comes in. And if your only reason is that it would be too hard to let go, that's probably the exact reason you should be fostering, is because you would be equipped to love them that deeply.
I love your perspective on that, Evelyn. And it's about the kids first, and we might hurt, we might have broken hearts, but that's really minor compared to what these kids are going through, whether they get reunified or not. It's all about the kids. And I know you also have a great perspective on biological parents. And we know sometimes kids do get reunified when we think you know, gosh, this is maybe not good. I don't think that this is going to work. This isn't good. But yet, as a foster parent, you don't really have a say in that. And then sometimes, you know, a foster or a bio parent will thrive. They'll have gotten some things together and are able to then get their kids back and be successful. So what is your view on the biological parent? Because a lot of times people, either as they begin to foster or as they're considering becoming foster parents, they kind of look at the biological parents as the bad guys. And that's not really the case.
No, it's not. You know, I mean, I did when we started, I kind of like wanted to sit back and just be judgmental. And, you know, you start to realize and you see these parents and, you know, Lily's mother loved her deeply. And the decision she's made for Lily's life and letting us adopt her were made out of love, not because she was a bad person.
Right.
So I think, as Christians, we're very uniquely positioned to be foster parents because we know that we're not called to sit back and judge these parents. We know that we're called to not just show God's love to these kids, but to show God's love to these parents too. And that the reality is they're just broken people like us. I'm not any better than they are. I need Jesus just as much as they do. You know, and if I look at my life and, you know, my sister and my history, like I'm only a couple decisions different than where my sister, you know, how she ended up with my niece in the system and everything else. Like I just made different decisions. It's not a bad person versus a good person. Like we are all just broken people. We need Jesus. So, you know, it's really hard at times. And there's times I have to kind of call my friends and be like, I need some help here because this is a hard walk. But I really think we're called to love these parents too. So.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that is even one area where I think, and we'll get to Care Portal in a minute, but with the work of Care Portal that we're doing, really we're bringing supports to families in crisis that their kids could go into foster care if some steps aren't taken, steps in the right direction. But we never know really the situation that caused a family to be in, you know, the circumstances that they are in. So to not be judgmental, but just to come alongside and love, that's really what we're called to do. And I love what you said about as Christians, we're uniquely equipped because we are called to love our neighbors. And that includes biological parents, even if we don't agree with their lifestyle or their choices, we're to disciple them too and minister to them too. So I love that. I love your perspective on that as well. So Evelyn, you and your family attend City Church in Albany. City Church is one of our Care Portal churches in Albany County. So you're the point person for your church. So you get those initial requests that the county puts in to the Care Portal. Why do you believe it's important for churches to participate in Care Portal?
You know, I feel like I, in general, have a heart for at-risk youth. And I mean, that includes at-risk families. And I think Care Portal is stepping in. It's allowing the churches to tangibly see the needs of at-risk families in their local community, and then step in and go ahead and provide some of these necessities that might strengthen an at-risk family enough to be able to keep that family unit as a whole. And it's actively preventing kids from going into foster care when they really don't have to. And so I just think that that's a place where the church has lacked the ability to step in for a long time. And I'm just really excited that we're able to do this now.
Yeah, we're so excited about the impact that we're seeing Care Portal have. So many of the requests actually help to keep the kids out of foster care, which you mentioned. And that's a part that we love about that. It also helps. There's been some families helped with reunification, so kids can go home sooner. And even kinship situations where kids, instead of actually going into foster care, they can go and live with a relative, a grandparent or an aunt. And that's another way where the portal is helping to bring some stability. And the impact so far is we're 1 year into Care Portal Schenectady County, and almost 500 children have been served in 1 year through local churches. We just launched Albany County, so I think there's under 20 kids right now that have been served so far by local churches. And that's another way for Christians to get involved. If you're listening to our conversation today and you're thinking, I don't know if I have what it takes to be a foster parent, but everybody in a church can get involved in Care Portal, and then your eyes are opened really to, it's not that scary. Although I always refer to fostering or adopting as sort of jumping into the deep end of the pool, and you're not really sure if you're a strong swimmer and you're going to make it, but you can actually kind of stick your toes in the shallow end with Care Portal and begin to kind of start that journey in ministering to children and families in crisis. And like I said, it's a way for everybody in every church to get involved. There's something, a way for everyone to do it through Care Portal. So we're thrilled to have City Church and our Care Portal network in Albany County, and so excited to see God move through the churches in the community using this ministry and discipleship tool. Evelyn, as we wrap up, I want to make sure you have a chance to share whatever it is that's on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear.
You know, I think we covered a lot of it, but the one thing I'd love to add is, like, you know, I'm now starting to get a monthly foster parent support group off the ground and stuff like that, and finding other ways to support foster parents. And, you know, as much as I talk about people being called to be a foster parent, I don't think every person is called to do it, but I do think every person in our church is called to do something. And I know that my family has been so blessed by our church and people supporting us and delivering meals and, you know, helping with childcare. And I mean, we have a guy who comes over and cuts firewood for us just to help us. And it's just amazing. But I just think it's so important for people in churches to support foster parents, to pray for these kids, and that, you know, everybody can do something. I think the statistic out there, it's like over half of foster parents quit after their first placement. And I really think if churches and people stepped into those roles to be able to support the foster parents that exist, like, we could change that statistic. And I think, you know, along with recruiting new foster parents, that would be huge for the system.
Absolutely. So there's something for everyone to do. And like you said, maybe it's chopping wood. Maybe it's making meal and bringing it to a family with a new placement. I just learned about a church and got to interview a church in the southern part of the state that they started a ministry. She's a foster parent also, and they knew how hard it was when a new placement arrives. So their church actually started a ministry where they prepare meals and deliver 3 pre-cooked homemade meals to a foster parent in their county whenever that foster parent receives a new placement. So they have 3 dinners, and they also bring things such as diapers and that kind of thing if the placement was a baby in diapers. It's just amazing, because if you can cook, if you can pray, praying for families, praying for the children, you know, the meals are, I know, a huge thing, providing clothing, doing laundry, whatever you're good at doing, you can step up and do and support a foster family. If you can't take kids into your home, there is something that you could do to wrap around and support them. So be on the lookout for what you can do and how you can use your gifts to bless and provide and hold up the weary arms of foster parents so that they can be successful. So we're either called to bring the kids into our home, or we are called to hold up the arms of those who have the kids in their home. You got 2 choices, basically, is what it boils down to, right?
Yep.
So yep. Evelyn, thank you for your dedication to kids in crisis, and thank you for being a foster parent, for stepping up, especially for those medical fragile babies. It's such a great need, and thank you so much for all you're doing and for sharing your story with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
It was an honor to have you, and thank you also for being a point person for Care Portal for your church. We need more point people like you. We need more churches, so thank you for doing that as well. And our listeners, if you are interested in learning more about becoming a foster parent, you can visit our website, justicefororphansny.org. Click on the foster care tab at the top of the page. There you'll get some great information on about foster care and also links to local foster care agencies that you can connect with and actually do a consultation with, do classes through, find out more. So go to our website and check that out. Fostering brings the mission field into your home. There's a great need in every community and in every county. So pray about it and do it. Do something, right? If your church would like to learn more about Care Portal, it's a ministry and discipleship tool connecting churches to families in crisis right in your own community. You can go to our website or you can just go directly to careportal.org to learn more. And if you enjoyed today's show, you can find more episodes on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Just search for the show by name, Orphans No More. And you can also find and follow every podcast on our website. Again, that's justicefororphansny.org. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.